basically, and you don't have to tell them, you know, your deepest, darkest secrets, but your clients knowing you because you are your biggest selling feature. And people will say, oh, this lash artist is so terrible and they have a full book of clients. Well, it's because people like them better than you because they've built their brand better and they're willing to go to them and get bad lashes because they like that artist so much. So we really have to be focusing on building our brands.
You're listening to Untamed, a podcast dedicated to empowering you, the lash artist, while providing insights on how to achieve success that is as individual and unique as you are. Each episode, me, Cheryl,
and me, Anne-Marie, share our best information openly, without reservation. We discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds for the lash industry.
So grab a snack and your comfiest sweater and get ready to geek out with your new lash BFFs. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe! Hi, Lash Nerds. Welcome back to another episode of Untamed Podcast. Today, we have Claire Hooper with us on our podcast. She's not only a well-known artist, educator in our industry. Those of you probably don't know, she was also one of my students back in the days when I used to train one-on-one training. And she was impressively talented as an artist. So for those of you who don't know her, or maybe you just know a little bit about her, but not a lot about her, Claire, welcome to our podcast. And would you do the honor of giving us a little bit of a rundown of who you are, what you do, and tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I am Claire, a beauty business educator. I do also still practice lashes. That's where I was saying that bit about the doctor. I feel like a doctor when I say I'm still practicing. So if we flow it back for like 2 seconds, I actually used to be a child and youth worker, and it was a great rewarding career and I loved it, but I just started getting really burnt out. And my husband said to me, he was like, just quit your job. I'm like, bro, responsible adults don't quit their job. Like we have bills. And he's such a leaper. And he's like, your happiness isn't worth it. We'll always figure it out. So I gave my notice and I quit. And I took my first course in lashes that was really terrible. When I look back, my first day, I definitely glued lashes to her skin, like not good, a quick 4-hour course, I think it was. Wow. And then obviously it's scary. But since then, I've taken multiple courses, including Cheryl's that she mentioned. And then the past couple of years been a bit crazy. So when they hit, I had to shut down my beauty salon. And I was like, I remember like getting the news. I hope I'm not going too deep, but I was like, oh, okay. When I got
all the tea.
Yeah. When I got the news that I had to shut down because we were ordered to shut down, I was like sitting on my bed and just kind of like crying because I was like, how am I going to make any money for my family? And my husband is a personal trainer, so he owns a gym. And so we both couldn't work. So anyway, I was like, you know what? I have some skills that people are always asking me about, like in the lash community. So people would ask me, you know, how did you build your website? How do you reach with your clients? And I would talk about email marketing because I use that in my business. I heavily believe in websites too. So I was like, I'm going to create an online course because I ended up getting an email from a mentor, like a business coach that I follow, and she was promoting her new course. And I was like, I can create a course. Like I have skills that can hopefully get me through this panorama and help me make some money because I can't lash. And then that just led me into the beauty business space. But actually a few months before that, I had started building my email list. So when I went to launch those courses, I actually had an audience to launch to. So that's how I got into beauty business education. I just really saw the gaps out there. Everyone wants to be the best lash artist and make the best 8D mega volume fan, but they don't know how to get clients in their door. So it doesn't matter how good you are at your craft. If you don't know how to get clients or run a business, you won't be successful. So I saw those gaps there that people were missing. And I was like, I got the tools for you. Okay. I'm here to help you out. So that's kind of how I got into lashes and then got into beauty business education. And it's been an amazing 3 years so far in the beauty business education space.
That was so well said. Like we need to say it again for the people in the back, because I have seen it again and again, extremely talented artist who is not able to fill their books, you know, but able to make fans like masterpieces, right? So I'm really glad that you are here to kind of spreading that message to letting people know that being a successful lash artist is so much more than just how symmetrical and how beautiful your fans are. it's been a really interesting journey for you from being an artist to here. And it's also kind of an unconventional one as well. It's not one that follows maybe the conventional blueprint that the industry has laid out for us in, you know, the past few years, where you become a successful lash artist, you become fully booked, and then maybe become an educator. You do private training, you do group training, and then you travel to do training. You've taken a very different trajectory. So I kind of want to double click on that and dive a little bit deeper into that and giving our listeners kind of a, like, your stories, a little bit of nuance. So we know that, as you said, it's the panorama. Mm-hmm. That kind of
I refuse to say the word.
That kind of like pushed you into that direction. Was there anything else that made you feel like, why didn't you create an online lash course, an online fan making course? Like, why did you decide to go into the area, the niche of area that you did ended up going into?
It's funny because I actually did spend a small amount of time being a lash educator, and specifically on lashes. So I worked for a brand and I traveled for a little bit, taught a couple courses for them, and I liked it. It was exciting because I was traveling, meeting new people. And then I did teach a few in-person classes. Like, I started up my own lash education at my studio and I taught like 4 students. And then I was like, this sucks. This it was not for me. Like, I hated it.
Tell us why.
Really? Why did it suck? And this sounds, all you newbie lash artists out there, you're going to find the perfect educator for you. But I was not the one. I had no patience. I found myself being like, you're getting stickies. Like, how is this happening? But it just, I didn't have the passion for it or the patience for it. And even though the money's great in teaching lashes, and I think a lot of people see that dollar sign with it. So we're like, okay, if I get this many students a week and I teach, or this many people in a class, I can make tons of money, which is true. But if you're not properly setting up the next generation of lash artists, you're not a great educator, right? So I feel like it was a humbling moment for me because I like to think I'm pretty good at doing lashes. So to be like, I don't have the capacity to teach people how to do the same was like, oh, damn, Claire, you suck. You know, I had to sit with that. But I don't think whether you're going into business educating or lash skills educating that you should be in it just to make money or just because that seems like the path forward. Like you said, unconventional. You have to go where your skills align. And maybe you're a lash artist and you want to get into education, I don't know, about dogs or yoga. Like, you can follow your passions other places. So I sounded intense on that, but you don't have to follow that direct path that the industry has set out for us. Like, there's other ways you can go. And the business side is like, yo, we need more business coaches out here because there's things everybody does in their business that is a little bit different. Like, me being a business owner, I'm a one-woman show at the moment. So it's just me. So this whole time, like, I can teach you, you know, how to run your social media, or I can teach you maybe bits and pieces of accounting, but that doesn't mean I should, right? My skills heavily lie in email marketing and online course creation. I know without a doubt, if you take my course, you're going to get something no one else is providing. But if I teach you social media, it might be mediocre because I'm not as strong in that. So hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually really do applaud you for recognizing that you were not meant to be a lash educator in the traditional sense of like teaching technique to new students. I think that's something that a lot of people don't want to admit. And just having a really good skill in lashes doesn't mean that you're going to be a good educator. They're completely, completely different skill sets. So Claire, you went through a journey of figuring out exactly where you wanted to be and the niche you wanted to teach in. What advice would you give to other educators who are trying to figure out where they fit within that education department? Like, they love to teach, but they're just not sure where they fit.
You had to go, this is actually super scary, especially for me. I was like, I don't want to do it. But you have to go on social media and just ask people what your superpowers are. It was so incredible. Like, I just went on Facebook and was like, hey guys, this is super lame. Like, I was being dumb about it. Like, I was so nervous. What would you guys say if you were describing me? What would you say I'm good at? And I couldn't even believe the comments people gave me. That, I think, is a really good place to start. One, it just fills your cup because you're like, oh shoot, things about me that I can't see in myself. And I think that's something that you have to listen to, because how other people see you, as I said, you're not going to see it yourself, and it can give you perspective into skills you never knew you had. So that's a good place to start. So you can kind of see, oh, I'm good at that and I didn't realize. But don't follow the path like that's laid out. You know what I mean? Like, I know that seems so simplified, but kind of get out of the world of social media and these lash gods we look up to, you know, like we always see these people who are killing the game, but it's like, well, one, you don't see all the other pieces of it, but two, like that doesn't have to be your path. It can look completely different and you can still be successful. And even getting into education, your path of success can be completely different. Like maybe you don't want to drive the Benz and have the bag and do the thing and do worldwide teachings. Maybe you're like, I want to teach in my basement, and that's okay. So ask people your superpowers would be my advice. And also just trying to carve your own path as hard as it can be, because we live in the world of social media.
Can you give us some examples of like, what are some of the most memorable ones that people listed about your superpower?
Oh my goodness. Me, I'm like getting embarrassed.
No, don't be.
A lot of people said that they thought I was just like a go-getter and a chance taker, and that I was really confident. Like that went through and through. Like 100 times people said that they thought I was confident, which for me in my own heart, I get really nervous, but maybe I don't show that to people. So that was one of the things I think. And that's what gave me even more confidence to do like public speaking. Like I'm going to LashCon and I'm like, I'm going to speak in front of a room of people, right? You know?
Yay. Yeah.
So maybe I was nervous, but it pushed me to be like, I can do it.
That's a great example to show like our listeners that sometimes we don't see our own superpower. And I remember hearing somewhere once that someone said once that, yes, everyone is judging you, but they're probably never judging you for what you think they're judging you for, or like judging you about.
So true.
This is also people probably think highly of you in things that you don't think that they think highly of you. I think one of your superpower, Claire, is clear communication. I think you're a great communicator.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's like one of the things that if I was on that forum answering that thread, that's what I would have said. So
thank you. Yeah. And to keep to, I mean, this might tie into another question you're going to ask me maybe, but to keep persevering, because not everything's going to always work out the way you envision it. You know, not everything goes according to plan. And your next big $1 million idea could be like just around the corner. So I don't know if you have a little story time. I get off topic, but
Give it to us.
Yeah. So I did this Instagram live and I was like, I said that. I'm like, your next big, you know, $1 million idea could be right around the corner. The people you don't even know are watching you could be watching you. And like, you just have to keep putting yourself out there because that's when your opportunities are going to come. And literally the next day, one of like my lash idols, okay, messaged me and was like, Claire, I want to collab with you. And I was like, and we built a course together with her and some other people. This was like almost a year and a half ago. And I was like, I didn't even know you knew my name. And she's like, I've been watching you on social media forever. So this is the thing where you're just like, you have no idea who you are influencing. So keep going.
Oh, thanks.
That's really nice, actually.
So I think that this is going to be a little bit of a pivot, right? But I kind of want to dive into the email marketing because that's the niche that you end up landing on. Tell us, like, I guess like, for me, you know, a lot of listeners probably think this too. Building our business in the beginning was all on social media, especially just on Instagram, right? And for a first-time entrepreneur, a lot of it is like, we don't know what we don't know. And then we just kind of copy what other people are doing.
Yeah.
How did you come to learn about the power of email marketing? And how have you seen that affected your business before you decided to like go into teaching it?
So I can't take 100% credit just in case my husband listens to this episode. He'll roast me. But so a long time ago, I used to actually teach soap making classes and teach people how to make like bath bombs and different things. So I'd have these classes. So he was always like, you need an email list so you can contact people and tell your students about what you're doing and recipes for soap and stuff. So I got started with email marketing like way back then. Like this is when my son was like one. So we're talking like 10, 11 years ago. And that makes me feel old saying that out loud. And then for lashes, I just always had email marketing, like right from the beginning, because I knew about it from the soap and I knew how powerful it was for me. So, and this is such a bold statement, and I feel like sometimes people are like, can that be true? But I have never, ever sent an email asking for money and not made money. Never. So people, this is so powerful. But how many times do you put up a post on social media and you say, hey, book with me, and no one books? But email. So like, if you with email, and I mean, when I say asking for money, like I say, oh, you know, I have lash serum back in stock, or oh, I have an opening this week that I want to fill, or oh, I'm running a sale, or oh, I just dropped a new online course. Like I have never sent one of those promotional emails and not made money ever. So it works, like it does work, you know, and I tell people too, if you look at any major brand out there, there's not a major brand that doesn't have an email list, right? Like, there's not. And why is that? It's because it works. So people want to treat lashes like some little niche business. In it is niche, but like some little business, and it's not. We should treat it. You got to be the CEO of your brand. And that means having systems in your business like email. So I knew it was powerful for a long time. And like I said, it's always been a really effective communicator. And like, here's another little like stat on email. I mean, you guys send emails, so you know these things, right? But the engagement rate on social media, or, but like how many people see your content? It's small, right? Like between 2 and 11%. 11% is like, you're killing the game. Your followers
are
still,
you're killing.
Yeah, I was like, that's really like high.
Rushing it.
Like killing the game, right? Yeah. So 11% obviously is unicorn, but let's say people are in 2-3%. I think Kim Kardashian's like 2% of her followers see her content or something like that. I read some stat, but
that email, is still killing it for her size.
So email open rates are in the beauty industry, the average is like 21%. So if you could say 21% of your email list is seeing your emails, but only 1% of your followers, like, why are you even focusing your energy to social media? You should be focusing it to your email. I mean, still, okay, I shouldn't crap on social media, but like just those numbers alone should tell you the power of email, right? And if you have a really good engaged email list that wants to be on your list and you're sending good engaging content, I mean, my email open rates are 50 to 65%, which is incredible. So I know 65% of my list is going to see my emails as opposed to social media, one person, you know, sort of idea. Yeah.
No, I absolutely love that. I think email is so underrated for stylists who just don't know, because, you know, it was like we learn lashes and then now people are taking lashes and they're adding business into that course too. And a lot of times it's only teaching how to make your social media page, but they're not even getting outside of that to Google website, email list. But I want to ask you, why do you think email is so much more effective? And then what are some tips that our listeners can take to make their email marketing strategy more effective?
So I think with email, it's always deemed as important, right? Like when people want to communicate, like I think of example, this podcast, right? Like this is, you know, kind of like a business, like a business meeting, right? You contacted me through email, right? You didn't send me a DM, like, because you wanted to know I'm going to open it and that I'm going to pay attention to it. So we conducted an email, right? In the morning, most people check their email before they check anything else on their phone. They pick up their phone, they look at their email before their social media or anything else. So that's one of the things about it being powerful. And some tips, don't think that you need to have some massive, massive list, because if you search email marketing on Pinterest or on Google, or you look at some of the big email marketing educators out there, we talk about the size. How big is your list? How big is your list? Listen, it doesn't even matter. If you have 10 engaged people on your list who are prepped and willing to buy from you, that could be good. And you have to start somewhere. It's something you're always going to be building. Providing engaging content. So a lot of my students will say, like, who are lash artists, are kind of like, Claire, how many times can I tell people to wash their lashes in an email, right? Like, what kind of content am I even going to give out? But I'm like, you, especially if you're a solopreneur, you are your brand almost exclusively, right? Like, so you can talk about yourself and things that are going on. Like, I send my lash clients smoothie recipes, and I send them, because I wear scrubs when I'm lashing. So I'll send them a picture of me like dressed up to go out for dinner. And I'm like, oh, proof that I don't always wear scrubs. Like, this is what I'm up to, you know? And then you can put in your aftercare and stuff. But you have to think it's just about engaging people. And you, with email too, or just with clients in general, it is much easier to renew a relationship with a past client than to prospect for a whole new one. So you're more likely for your old client with good customer service and, you know, keeping the communication open for them to come back than the money you're spending in advertising dollars to get someone new. So keeping the lines of communication open with your clients is a big tip, but don't get in your head about it. Done is better than perfect in this aspect. I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, seems like that's the tip for everything. Done is better than perfect. You know, in your story, like, it kind of reminded me of a story of my friends who owns an e-commerce, and he owns an e-commerce for marijuana in Vancouver, BC, because it is legal, like legal here. And in his email list, he has not only an insane open rate, but he has an insane response rate, which is unheard of. And all he does is that they send out stoner stories. That's what it is. They just like send out really funny stoner stories and then ask their audience to submit their own version of their stoner story. And they created this community of people who just love to share stories with each other. That's like the beauty and nuance of email. If you know how to really capture it, is that it doesn't have to be very salesy. It can be really relationship building. I love that you send smoothie recipe, you know, and debate based on your clients. Like, you know, maybe you're like, I'm thinking like maybe you can send like skincare, like product recommendation, or when Sephora has like the sales, you can like be the person that reminds your clients or something like that. Yeah, I think that like this is opening my eyes to kind of think about email marketing, especially for service provider, not in a very rigid way, because, you know, we are a brand. So sometimes we think of email marketing a little bit more rigid as more like informative, educational, or sales. But sky's really the limit when it comes to being an artist. You can really be personal with these.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't have to tell them, you know, your deepest, darkest secrets, but your clients like knowing you because you are your biggest selling feature. And people will say, oh, this lash artist is so terrible and they have a full book of clients. Well, it's because people like them better than you because they've built their brand better and they're willing to go to them and get bad lashes because they like that artist so much. So we really have to be focusing on building our brands.
So true. That is so true. Like, I see that again and again.
Yeah, and not everybody's ready for that, but yeah.
Yeah.
People aren't ready for that conversation, but I'm like, it's true. They're booked and busy because people just like them, you know? So
have you guys noticed that like it's usually the most talented artists who perhaps like, I don't know if this is like a bad way to say it, but they take their crafts too seriously so that when clients don't really take care of their lashes, they take it as a personal attack.
Yeah.
And then so they get defensive in the way that they, you know, interact with the client. So they may be super talented, but maybe they're lacking that likability like you're talking about here, Claire, because they're taking like their lashes like it's their identity, but not like the client's experience, but more like how the lashes are being taken care of as like their personal identity. So they actually come across like harder to approach as a client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I actually had that conversation with one of my lash friends and I was getting super frustrated because I was like, it's so true. Like, I was trying to calm her down because she was having that kind of attitude about it with the lashes. And I was like, but they come and they pay you to fix them. So like, you're still getting paid. I'm super chill with my clients. They know their aftercare, but if you want to rub mascara on your lashes, like for me, I'm not going to stop providing for you, but you just know you're getting half the time because I have to clean them, right? So maybe I'm too chill in that sense, but...
It's all about finding the balance that works best for each of us, right? Like, I think that's so important. I'm sitting here thinking of all these different ideas that what a stylist could do with those situations in their email marketing that might tie it together. And I think that those who are listening might not really realize how different emails are versus Instagram posts. And okay, maybe people listening are like, Anne-Marie, no, okay, they're obviously different. But Instagram, you're making like a post and you're trying to, you can't force too much in it at a time, whereas emails can also be like newsletter style. So how would you like lay out a basic email template for a stylist who's dealing with, let's say they have a lot of clients who come in with that mascara and it is not in their tolerance zone to deal with that. Like, they want to minimize that, but they're also struggling to maintain clients or get referrals. Like, are there some tips you could give on what they could do to try to fix that?
Yeah, so I definitely agree with how it is different, and I would put that information in an email. I might also give that information in a handout. I know not everybody's into paper anymore, but for me, if I've ever like changed my prices or a policy, I send an email and I also give a paper copy to people at their appointment. I know not everybody wants to do paper anymore, but it's another avenue you can go. But I would try to come lighthearted in the intro, you know what I mean? Like, this is something, and the nice thing about an email, like, it's to everybody, right? You're addressing it to a lot of people. So it's not personal attack. And it could just be like, retention tips for summer. These are the things that are going to get you the best retention. I've noticed a lot of people wearing mascara on their lashes. This is like, if you want your lashes to last, girl, like, you're going to have to skip the mascara, right? It's more time out of your appointment. So I would try to keep it lighthearted, but make sure you have all the points. And social media posts live and die pretty much in 24 hours, right? Not a lot of people are seeing it. So if you send it in an email, you can say, even say to your client, like, you're not going to say, did you see my Instagram post? But you'd be like, did you see the email that I sent out to everybody? Oh, you didn't get it? Let me make sure that it's not in your junk mail. You know, it opens a conversation.
Yeah. I wanted to dive a little bit. This is more about like the details, right? How important is the language in the email? Like, do you write it the same way you would write Instagram caption, or do you have a different approach to email language? And does that affect kind of like your open rate and engagement rate for your emails?
For open rate, like, you want to stick away from words like free or sale, which is hard, especially if you are a product-based business, because you're going to talk about those things, right? But the algorithm, because there is an algorithm in email too, right? They scan your emails to make sure that you're not spam. But for me, when I'm talking, how I send emails are very conversational. They're really casual. Like, I'm using lots of dot, dot, dots. I'm using 20 exclamation marks. Like, it's just how I talk in my emails. They're very like friendship conversation based. But I guess it depends on the topic you're talking about. But even me as an educator, yes, it's going to be a little more formalized, but it's still casual friend to friend girl. Hey, what's up? Like those sort of things. But your open rates and stuff, a lot of time email subject line can make or break if your email is opened. So I said, like, stick away from free, even putting someone's name in an email. Like most email marketing systems, you can put the name of the person you're sending the email to. So it might be like, hey, Cheryl, we haven't spoken in a while. And then, you know, it's a bit clickbaity, but that's really what you're doing with an email subject line is clickbait to get people to open your email, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, even a tip, if you go on like Pinterest and search email subject lines, there are thousands of them. And you can go through and see what's relevant to your emails.
That's a really cool tip. Are your emails all curated on with a software, or do you like, how do you, I guess, is the presentation and the aesthetic of the email matter? And if so, do you have like some favorite software that you can recommend to our listener?
So I love Flowdesk. That is the one I use. It's wicked. If you are just starting with email marketing, it's perfect. It's great. If you're, you know, moving on, it could be a little bit hard because they're newer, so they don't have as many integrations. So you may have to use something like Zapier to make everything move seamlessly for you. So, and if you don't know what Zapier is, don't worry. You can write it down and Google it. But yeah, Flowdesk, I think, is really good. I know there's programs like MailChimp that are free that a lot of people go to, and I try to move them from the free software just because it can be limiting. And then you have to move your email list over. And then once you reach a certain amount of subscribers, it can be pricey. So with Flowdesk, you can have unlimited subscribers. As far as aesthetics, I think being in the beauty industry, we like aesthetics. We like things to look pretty. We like things to look cute. Flowdesk is really great at having those beautiful templates. But sometimes emails that are heavy in photos can be flagged as spam, or depending on how people are consuming like your content, like whether they're on desktop, you have to make sure that it's good for desktop and good for cell phone. Same as with your website. You want to make sure the user experience is flawless throughout. So if you want to use a bunch of pictures, but they look crappy on, you know, mobile, most people are using their mobile devices. So I would just go text heavy in that sense. I used to go very picture heavy, and I found switching to mostly text with GIFs was better for my open rates.
That's really interesting, actually. And then there's also, if you really want to simplify stylist for your email and just try it out, see the return you get, and then realize like, hey, I got to get into a better email software. Vigaro is a booking app, and we talk about it all the time, but you can actually have email marketing through there. So it's all in the system. You're collecting that information anyway to book that client's appointment. You just hit the marketing tab and you hit emails, and it's all templates. You just go for it. Not going to be as cute as emails you get from Claire, but it's a great thing that you should take advantage of. And the cool thing there too, if you just want to start out, is you could do birthday emails that are automated. You could do, we haven't seen you in 8 weeks, we miss you, with a special promo. Like, you can set those things up right away. And I think they're pretty effective, even if they're not as glamorous.
No, for sure. Even I use Acuity. And yeah. So they have email software too. And one thing I always do is my lash lift clients. So at the end of 6 weeks, it triggers an email to send to them through Acuity and says, you're due for your lash lift. So yeah. So guys, sometimes people just forget to book appointments, and emails just remind them to do it. Like you said, with Vigaro, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. I used to use Acuity too. And I just love the reminders and the follow-ups, and because it's all like, you know, you can just put it in and plan it out. And also, I think when a client sees it coming from a booking site, they're more likely to open as well, because they would think that it's related to their appointment. So it's like more important rather than like a spam or like an email marketing type of email. For me, like, the reason why I asked if language is important is because I wrote my like follow-up emails on Acuity with like all the way I would talk. And it's like really funny. And I seen so many times my clients would like come back and just tell me how funny that email was. Cause I was, yeah. I remember my, I was just like, oh, you know, those email that you, I mean, the mascara one you find at the bottom of your purse. Yeah. They're not for decoration. They're like for you to comb your lashes or something like that. You know, yeah. It's a great way for your personality to shine through as well. Going back to that likability part. Like that's how people, they're not your friends. They don't go and get brunch with you and, you know, get to know you and hang out and do activities. So this is the way that they get to know you.
Especially if you have a policy about being silent during appointments. Like a lot of lash artists don't talk to their clients. So how are they going to know you?
Yeah, exactly. So I know that email marketing is one of the topic that you teach, right? So you offer courses. Can you tell us just a little bit briefly about like the courses that you offer and how can people learn a little bit more about email marketing? Because you already gave away so much good information today, but I'm sure there's so much nuance and detail in there. So do you have a course that we can tell our listener about?
I do. I have email marketing for beauty professionals. So if you have listeners who aren't lash artists, it's not specific to lash artists, but specific to the beauty industry. And it takes you literally start to finish. So there's technical walkthroughs on how to start your email list. Because I think technology is a huge barrier for a lot of people. Even though we live in a technical world, we know Instagram, we know TikTok, but we're like, do I have to code to write an email? Do I have to know all these things? But like, I promise you, it is much easier than you think it's going to be. I also teach you how to grow your email list. So you may have clients sitting on your list, right? Like, you know, your email list, but like, how do you get more people on your list, right? So that you can potentially sell to more people. And not just for working lash artists, but also if you're a lash educator, I think you absolutely need an email list so you can keep connecting with your students and giving them information. It's kind of like it's an exclusive community, right? Like everybody can see you on Instagram, but it's like, but are you on my email list? I think there's still power in that. So we go through all of that in email marketing for beauty professionals.
So you mentioned educators also benefit from your email marketing course, but I also know that you teach a course about actually making online education. Can you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Mm-hmm. So that is called Creation to Launch, and it launches once a year in January. There may be some tweaks coming. But I will talk about the course a little bit, but things may be, you heard it here first, okay? A little teaser of things changing. But so it's basically teaching you how to create your own online course, because online real estate it's non-negotiable. I feel like the same as email marketing, right? As I said, I created online courses because I couldn't work anymore. So as a lash artist, like we have to physically be there to make money. So unless you want to get into online education or you want to create a product, like what are ways that are generating you streams of income when you're not physically lashing, right? So that's why I think it's really important that people create something in the online space. Now, it doesn't have to be, you know, a 27 lesson course. It can be a 1 hour workshop. It can be an ebook. It can be an audio file that you sell. There's lots of different things there. So I teach beauty professionals. I've had people who aren't in the beauty space to take my course, but it teaches you how to create an online course or a workshop or masterclass. Yeah.
I like that a lot because I'm thinking of like a just hairstylist, lash stylist, esthetician, anyone. We all have certain hobbies or interests. And I think that utilizing like that online space to create a course, that might actually work well. And then you could start by sending it out to your clients and kind of expanding from there too. I see so many people who start selling extra retail of things that they've made or that they're passionate about. They start hosting other classes within their space. It might be something like yoga, meditation, those things. But I really like the continuity of being able to have this option too and reaching out even maybe again to your clients instead of only to the industry that you're a part of. I think there's a different way and a different approach to getting in that online space that I think every listener can really benefit from what you have to offer.
Yeah. And I've had a lash artist, like she made a course about journaling, and it's not even marketed towards lash artists at all, right? She was just like, this is something I really like to do, and this is where I see my skill. So don't think just because it's the same with teaching anything, right? Like we said at the beginning, follow your passions. It doesn't have to be industry related, and again, it doesn't have to be a really long course. And done, again, is better than perfect. But we see lots of people, we will look at like big brands and we'll see their production value. And a lot of my students will come to me and be like, well, mine doesn't look like that. It's not in 4K. It's not this. And I'm like, because you don't have budget, and that's okay. They have budget. So you can't compare it, right?
Yeah.
So starting with something that's a little more low key, even a course, you can create an online course and never show your face. Like you can create it on Canva and it's a slideshow.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And you're just voicing over, right? Yeah. So just getting started, like, you know, I do recommend something a little higher than a cell phone camera quality, but you don't have to have a full production studio, right? Because if you have good quality content, it's not going to be the end of the world if, you know, you're not filming in a big studio. So don't let that stop you.
So break it down to us. What is considered good quality? Like the word, you know, English language is always so subjective. So I want to know, in Claire's definition, what is good quality educations and content?
It has to actually do something for someone. So first, have you gotten the results for yourself or for somebody else? So in business coaching, because if you haven't, if I say how to make 100K as a lash artist and I've never done it, well, I'm a fraud. So my content won't be quality because I don't actually have the blueprint and people will eventually see through it. So results for yourself or results for someone else, like if you're a business coach, right? And then like you have to get people a result at the end of it, right? Like you have to have some sort of step-by-step process that once they go through this process in this line, they're going to get this result, right? If you take creation to launch my course, by the end, you will have the tools to create your own online course. As far as like quality, as far as like how it looks, like your video quality should be crisp, your sound quality should be crisp, but again, doesn't have to be in 4K. Your workbooks and stuff, they should be checked for grammar and all those sort of things. In all my courses, I've done peer reviews. So every course I've ever put out, I contact 5 people in the industry and I let them take my course for feedback. And then, so you're running it through before you're putting it out to the population. And people may say, actually, like, it wasn't great. And I've had people say that to me. And then, and you tweak it and you figure it out and go from there.
It's so good that you have, you know, peer that truly trusts, that you can trust, that can give you honest feedback, because it's so easy to just, you know, not hurt somebody's feelings or not be objective about it. But I think that it's like a blessing to have people that really trust you and want you to succeed, to be completely honest with you. This is an episode that, like, I hope every single person that's considering to be an educator is an educator, because, like, I know that obviously it's jam-packed with value for any lash artist, but it is really a great episode for educators, I feel like, because it's really kind of shedding some light. A common theme that I'm realizing with you, Claire, in your journey, or at least in the last, like, you know, 3 years in the education space, is that you are breaking a lot of the mold, you know, mold. Yeah, like you're breaking the mold of like what education format should look like, topic that you should teach, how you should teach, platform you should use, and even how to gain those clientele as well. So
thank you.
You mentioned earlier in your introduction that you still do lashes 3 times a week. Is there a reason that you still do lashes? Tell us a little bit about that, because I think a lot of listeners or artists may be listening to this, think that in order for me to be super successful, I have to give up lashes completely to be an educator, or I have to give up what I do. So what made you make the decision of continue to grow in your education space, but still do lashes as well?
So a couple of things. One, I have the time. So my online business, obviously, like I had to put in a lot of hours in the beginning for sure. Like you still have to work hard. I don't want to make it sound easy, but I've been able to relax a little bit more because things are kind of running on their own, like for my online business, a lot of it. So I have the time. Also, I wanted to keep my pulse on what it's like to be a lash artist, because I'm teaching people how to be better lash artists in business. But if I don't know what it's like in the space anymore, it's kind of like, it's nice to still be a part of it. And I like doing lashes. So those are kind of, I have the time, I want to keep my finger on the pulse, and I like doing it. I mean, I don't take new clients I take new lash lift clients, but not new extension clients. I maybe take 10 appointments a week. So it's not too crazy. And yeah. So I think you can do both, like the online business, right? Like courses, like last night, like this morning, I woke up and I sold 4 courses in the night. So it's like, these things can happen. Am I selling 4 courses every single day? No, that it's not always going to happen that way, right? Eventually, I'll be selling 50 courses a day. But, you know, it takes the pressure off having to like have a full book of clients. So you can just really focus on being passionate about it and not in that scramble of like, I got to be booked and busy.
This is like really good information. And I think that this is a great place for us to start wrapping up our conversation with you. So before we dive into it, because I always like to do a little bit of a rapid fire before we end. But before we get into the rapid fire, I just wanted to maybe for you to just tell people where they can find you, what courses you offer, and how they can get in touch with you. Then we'll jump into the rapid fire.
So you can find me on Instagram at _ClaireHooper or my website, VivianClaire.com. So Vivian's actually my first name, but my mom always called me Claire, which is my middle name. So if you go on my site and you're like, why is everything, my podcast is Vivian Claire, this, my website's Vivian Claire, that's why. So yeah, you can find me in those two places. Come, you can always slide in my DMs, ask me a question. If I have the answer, I'll give it to you. If I don't, I'll help you find it.
Thank you. Okay, now it's for the fun part. Let's dive into the rapid fire round.
Let's do it.
I usually don't have these prepared. So it's like a rapid fire questioner versus a rapid fire answer.
Okay.
So we'll see where we take this takes
Amazing.
Us. Okay.
I love it.
But I'm going to ask a question. And then you're going to answer the first thing that comes to your head quickly.
Okay.
And like, don't overthink it. But sometimes the questions are really silly. But sometimes they're very insightful. So we'll see where this takes us. First thing I wanted to know is, what is your favorite editing app on your phone that you use to create content for your business?
Ooh, PhotoGrid.
Oh.
Probably like for, or Canva. PhotoGrid for lashes, before and afters. I love PhotoGrid. Canva for everything else.
If you weren't in the lash industry or teaching in the lash industry, what would be your alternative career path?
I probably would have stayed in childhood education space, maybe gone more into criminal justice for youth.
Oh, that's really cool. Where do you see our lash industry going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Much more automated in sense of pre-mades are just going to be the number one, whether people like it or not. I know people are hesitant, but that's what I think. More, better technology, more emphasis on self-care in your body.
I love that one. Yeah. What is your most controversial opinion about our industry?
like, should I say that? Just because you have a lot of followers doesn't mean you know anything. Could be one of them. I think that can go for any industry. And also, I do believe that people can just take a classic course and use pre-mades and be a good volume artist.
Ooh, that's super controversial.
I know. People are going to be like,
that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
It's okay. We like it. We like some controversies here. And then my last question is, what would be one wisdom that you want every listeners to walk away with today?
You are the visionary of your brand. And so whatever you want to do and whatever feels good to you in your heart, you can do it. You don't have to follow the path of anybody else because it's your brand and your business. So just remember that. You can't keep everybody happy.
That's all for this episode of Untamed. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at untamedartistry.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, as your study buddy, we are always here for you. Don't hesitate to send us a DM at untamed.artistry.